Of the Father,
and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory.
The feast of St. Gregory Palamas is on the second Sunday of Great and Holy Lent, following the Sunday of the Triumph of Orthodoxy. The Triumph of Orthodoxy means victory over heresies, and more widely, over any delusion, over every false and lying thought which may enter into our minds or our hearts. And so, after laying aside delusions, after returning to a childlike directness of faith, which is just what the veneration of icons shows, the next step before us is towards inner stillness and silence, hesychia. St. Gregory is the church's great teacher of stillness, which is not to say that he was the first to teach of quiet and silence. The theme is already clear in the Old Testament. When Elijah entered the cave at Mount Horeb, seeking the Lord, the last, he said, of those who would seek after the Lord instructed him to go out and stand on the mountain as he was about to pass by. God was going to be present. But notice in what way. A great and mighty wind tore into the mountains and shattered the rocks, we read. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake. But, we read, the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake, there was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And then we read this. After the fire came a still, small voice. In the Septuagint, it says, a gentle whisper. And when Elijah heard that, he wrapped his face in his cloak and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. And the Lord was in that still, small voice, with the contrast between that voice and what preceded it serving to greatly emphasize the significance of that stillness. The theme of stillness is also clear in the New Testament. Saint Peter writes, "Let your adornment be the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit." The word quiet there is hesychios, hesychia. Or again, St. Paul instructs the church to pray for earthly rulers, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and piety. That's from 1 Timothy chapter 2. Quiet and peaceful are eremon and hesychia, an eremitic and a hesychastic life. The theme of hesychia runs through the whole fabric of Christian history, from Arsenius the Great and John Climacus onward. But in St. Gregory Palamas, it finds its fullest and most resounding voice in the church. Who was St. Gregory? St. Gregory was born in Constantinople in 1296. His father, who reposed when Gregory was only 7 years old, held a prominent position in the imperial court as a member of the Senate. The father was entrusted with tutoring the emperor's own grandson, who later became the next emperor. Despite his father's early repose, St. Gregory grew up his whole life near the emperor, and was educated by the most gifted philosophers and theologians of the time. Yet following these studies, he left for the Holy Mountain and became a monk. At the same time, his mother and two of his sisters also became nuns in Thessaloniki. In the year 1325, St. Gregory was ordained a priest. And a decade later, in 1335, he was made the abbot of Esfigmenu Monastery on the Holy Mountain. But soon afterwards, he stepped down in order to pursue a life of stillness, a hesychastic life, which he did, until he was asked to defend the Athenite monks against the attacks being launched upon them by a man named Barlaam the Calabrian. This conflict is commonly called the Hesychast Controversy. Later, St. Gregory was ordained Archbishop of Thessaloniki, and he spent all of his remaining time with his flock there until he reposed on November 14th, 1359. 9 years after his death, he was canonized and placed on the official calendar of the great cathedral in Constantinople, Hagia Sophia. One scholar wrote about St. Gregory's life. St. Gregory did not construct a theological or philosophical system, nor was he a teacher who wrote any academic theology. He was himself a man of prayer, a theologian who devoted himself to prayer. And when the church was attacked, he was called upon to use his talents to defend it. Central to the controversy St. Gregory was involved in is the question, what is the aim of the Christian life? A good question for us today. Most simply put, the answer is theosis, a Greek word usually translated as deification. This word expresses the union of the Christian person with God. St. Dimitri Staniloi writes, Orthodox spirituality aims at the perfection of the faithful in Christ. But this perfection can't be obtained in Christ except by participation in his divine human life. Therefore, the goal of Orthodox spirituality is the perfection of the believer by his union with Christ. This teaching is clear from the beginning of the church. The Apostle Peter teaches that Christians become partakers of the divine nature. In the second century, a little more than just 100 years later, St. Irenaeus of Lyon wrote, "The word of God, our Lord Jesus Christ, through his transcendent love, became what we are, that he might bring us to be even what he is himself." 2 centuries later, St. Athanasius the Great wrote, "God has become man that he might deify us in himself." And again, "The word was made man that we might be made God." This union with God is not to be confused with absorption into God in a pantheistic sense, like a drop of water into the ocean. Nor should it be confused with the union that occurs in human relationships between two people who love each other. Instead, union with God is brought about by the grace of God, which transforms and deifies a man. St. Gregory writes, "Through grace, God, in his entirety, penetrates the saints in their entirety, and the saints in their entirety penetrate God entirely, exchanging the whole of him for themselves and acquiring him alone as the reward of their ascent toward him. For he embraces them as the soul embraces the body, enabling them to be in him as his own members." St. Gregory uses the sun as an analogy. For us, the sun is out of reach, and yet we experience the sun's rays, its solar energy and heat. In just the same way, we are unable to grasp God in his essence. He's out of reach. But we can experience him through his energies. This experience and the transformation it brings about, that is what is called theosis. The point isn't that we become God, but instead that we're truly warmed by his rays and filled with his energies, such as love and grace and so forth. Just like when the energy of the sun enters a plant as chlorophyll, the plant doesn't become the sun. In the same way, when we participate in the divine energies, our person is filled with God's uncreated energies, without making us God himself. So, union with God isn't just a manner of speaking or something symbolical or metaphorical, as though we simply appear perfect or justified without actually being so. Rather, theosis is a genuine and specific reality, a gift of grace, and one experienced even in this present life. Indeed, this experience is central to Christian life. That's the point of the Hesychast controversy. The whole point of St. Gregory's teaching was to defend the reality of Christian experience of the grace of God. Salvation is more than forgiveness. It is the genuine renewal of man. And how does this renewal happen? It begins, St. Gregory insists, in holy baptism, through the remission of sins. And then, he continues, it is nourished and grows through righteousness and faith, and continually renewed in the knowledge of God and the virtues that flow from this knowledge. And finally, it will reach perfection when it sees the when we see God face to face. Now, however, we see through a glass darkly. St. Gregory teaches that this transformation occurs in us gradually. There's a starting point and perfection, he writes, and an intermediate stage in between. The grace of baptism, which is called the washing of regeneration, inaugurates this action in us, he writes, providing remission of all our sins and of the guilt of the curse of Adam. Perfection will come with the resurrection to life, the promise of the age to come, for which all believers hope. The intermediate stage is life according to Christ's gospel, by which the godly person is nourished and grows and is renewed, making progress day by day in the knowledge of God, in righteousness and in sanctification. Gradually, he continues, a man reduces and cuts away his eagerness for things below and transfers his longing from what is visible, physical, and temporary to what is invisible, spiritual, and eternal. So he writes that the Lord has promised to reveal himself to the man who keeps his commandments, saying, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him, and will make our abode with him, and I will manifest myself to him. So, God's presence within a man isn't related to his intelligence. Rather, it relates to our fulfillment of the holy commandments. For in fulfilling the commandments, we are purified of our passions. In other words, doing this creates stillness within us. Instead of running and jumping after all the things of this world, the lusts of the flesh, the opinions of men, and the pride of life, instead of all that, a soul trained and disciplined by the commandments is quiet and still. It is a hesychastic soul. And this alone makes room for the presence, the indwelling, the manifestation of God. Brothers and sisters, theosis is a great mystery. In its depth and meaning, it far surpasses our understanding. Yet St. Gregory teaches us to simply practice the commandments of God and to cultivate stillness in our lives, and that by these, God himself will unite us to himself, will shine the rays of his own life upon us and into us, warming us by his very presence, uniting us to him, and thereby saving us, both in this world and in the world to come. Through the prayers of St. Gregory, O Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on us.